I walked past the choir room this morning and heard a woman's voice encouraging the choir. And I thought, my, Bob has changed. Millie, thank you for stepping in for him. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Luke chapter 22. I'm beginning at verse 39. Let's pray. Lord, give us ears to hear your word for us today. Lips that speak your truth and hearts to love one another. In Jesus' name, amen. The words that I just spoke are sort of my version of the old preacher's prayer, Lord, make the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth acceptable to your ears. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Today's scripture is found in three of the Gospels, Mark, Matthew, and Luke. And there are some minor differences, as there are always are when we hear the same story through different voices and see it through different eyes. But the question, the Jesus question contained in these, all three versions, is the same. Why are you sleeping? And we have learned in this year when we have been studying questions that Jesus asked that when he asks questions, he already knows the answers. But he wants to point something out. And so it is with this passage called Jesus Prays on the Mount of Olives. Now, many of you may know this passage as Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it's often referred to that way. But it wasn't called the Garden of Gethsemane back at this time. That's a name that was given to it later when there was actually a garden that was planted on the site. And if you go to this place now, you will indeed find a fairly small garden. Actually, it's only about twice the size of our community garden in back of the church. And it's laid out in cruciform shape, that is, in the shape of a cross. And there's a church there to remember this event, this prayer. This prayer time was the last dedicated prayer time of Jesus' life. And if you notice that it says that he went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, that is a place where he had gone frequently before. And Gethsemane means the Garden of Olives or the olive press. It's been translated a couple of different ways. And indeed, there was an olive press there because they grew olives and it was simplest to press them and use the oil, bottle the oil right in that place. The Mount of Olives is on a hillside that faces Jerusalem. So when Jesus was staying in Jerusalem, he often just went down the valley and up the hill and could look at Jerusalem while he prayed. And sometimes when he prayed, he wept over Jerusalem. Now, do you have the place in mind? And the image of what he was doing there late at night, the same night that they had had their Passover meal. And this event is on Thursday in Holy Week, the day before he was crucified. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." As I said, this story is told a little bit differently in Matthew and Mark. This is the only one where it says that he sweated blood. Now, how many of you have had a hot day out in the garden and you come in and you say, "I'm sweating bullets"? You don't really mean bullets. You just mean that your sweat drops are as big as bullets. But this says he was sweating blood. It also, in this version, doesn't give the same sort of time frame that the other two do. In the other two, he finds the disciples asleep three different times. Three times he goes back and forth and prays and wakes them up and prays and wakes them up and tells them to stay awake. And this is the only version of the story where there's an angel from heaven that appears to him and strengthens him. In the other versions, he seems to be depending on the disciples to strengthen him, to support him, and seems much more disappointed in them when he finds them asleep than the words of this version. But the question is the same in all three. Why are you sleeping? Now, in the disciples' defense, they had had a big meal. Has anybody here ever been to a Jewish Seder? Not a Seder in a Christian church, but a Jewish Seder in a temple or in a Jewish home. Gloria, how many glasses of wine did you have? The Passover meal lasts 2-3 hours, has many courses. There's a lot of fun going on, a lot of singing, games with the kids. This is the meal they'd been at that evening. And with every course of food and every question that's asked to remember the Exodus, that's the reason for the Passover, remembering God bringing them out of Egypt, remembering what happened in that time, remembering their delivery, remembering that they'd been saved by God. It's a glorious, happy occasion. It's as jubilant as Christmas. But rarely do we spend 2-3 hours, even at Thanksgiving dinner, do we? There's too much football going on. But imagine being at table all those hours with all those little cups of wine. And they're only little thimbles full. There's not a lot that you drink with each course, but there are at least 8 or 9 glasses you're supposed to consume, and a huge meal. Some of you have enough difficulty staying awake in church for 1 hour after grace and eggs. It's hard to stay awake after a heavy meal, isn't it? It is no wonder after 8-9 glasses of wine and a heavy meal they were falling asleep. But remember the other things that happened at that meal. Jesus had told them he was going to die. He'd been saying that all along. He said it over and over again, and they didn't want to believe him, and they argued with him. But finally, that night, they seemed to get the reality of what was about to happen, especially when he confronted Judas, and Judas left after being identified as the person who would betray Jesus. Why are you sleeping? Well, we've eaten too much, we had too much wine, and there was a lot of drama going on, and we're tired. It's late at night. We're worn out emotionally. It's all we can do is sleep. Why are you sleeping? He asked that question with three different chaser lines in the three Gospels that paint this picture for us. In Mark, he asks, "Why are you sleeping? Couldn't you stay awake 1 hour?" That's the most accusative of the three. Couldn't you stay awake 1 hour? Couldn't you just support me and stay awake 1 hour? I would feel very guilty if Jesus said that to me. In Matthew, he comes out that last time and says, "Are you still sleeping?" Because he's awakened them twice already. And then he says, "You might as well rest now, because the time is coming when I'm going to be betrayed. Rest up, because there's even more drama coming. There's even more difficulty. There's even more turmoil. There's even more tribulation." Or, you know, it's hard to read black and white words on a flat page and figure out what the emotion is behind them. Maybe he was just saying, "Yeah, might as well go back to sleep. You've been sleeping all evening." Remember what Jesus was doing while they were sleeping. He was praying that God would take away the cup from him. There's a reference to a bitter cup in Isaiah. In many places in the Old Testament, there are references to drinking from a bitter cup. And so those words were familiar to Jesus, and that's why he used them here to say, "Lord, take this cup from me. I don't want to drink this bitter cup. I don't want to be crucified." We've all asked God to take away turmoils and tribulation and difficulties in life. And many of us have been disappointed when God hasn't saved a loved one whose life we wanted preserved. Or whatever it is that your request has been that wasn't met. Jesus himself asked for his death to be taken away, for God to find some other way, some other miraculous way of redeeming the world without his suffering. And he asked that knowing that it wasn't possible, that it was something he must do. And he asked that already having made the decision that he would go through with it. And then he found the disciples asleep. In the other two versions, he seems to be criticizing them for falling asleep. But here's the surprising difference in Luke, and it's worthy of note. In this version, he says, get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. He was staying awake and praying for deliverance, but also praying in order to gear himself up and get the courage to go ahead with what he knew was the right thing to do. He was praying so that he would not fall into temptation. And when he went back and found the disciples asleep, his concern was that they weren't prayed up enough. You see, there is no human life that doesn't have difficulties. I've never met anybody who didn't have troubles in their life. No one. There's no way out of that. Suffering is inevitable, but misery is optional. And Jesus was telling them, this is how you avoid misery. Even when you have suffering, like the suffering that was coming to him, you don't have to be miserable about it. If you've girded yourself up, if you've obtained the strength and the courage you need from the Word of God and from prayer, you can get through difficult times, get through suffering with the help of God. You can endure, but you have to be prayed up. Why are you sleeping? Pray so that you will not be tempted. Tempted to despair. Tempted to renounce God. Tempted in so many different ways. I said suffering is inevitable. We all get different kinds of suffering. Certainly, I pray that none of us will ever experience anything like Las Vegas. But for those who were gathered there that day, enjoying a wonderful concert from all accounts, there was nothing they could do. Every single one of them had had an automatic weapon. They couldn't have taken out the shooter. He was too far away, too high up, too invisible. Sometimes suffering is inevitable, always in life. You're not going to make it all the way through. But when we pray for God's strength and for courage, you see, when we stay awake spiritually, then we have the strength to endure. Connie told me that she was reading about or listening to a broadcast that was aiming to help people to come to terms with the events in Las Vegas. And the broadcaster, was it a radio program, referred to a song called In Times Like These, which was written by Mother Jones, Ruth K. Jones. It's a song we don't have in our hymnal. It's actually one that I've never heard of. And it's the same message that Jesus summed up in those few little words. Stay awake. Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Here are the words of the song. In times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, oh, be not idle. In times like these, we need the Bible. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. That rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. That rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, oh, you've got to be sure that your anchor holds and it grips the solid rock. Your anchor, it holds and it grips the solid rocks. In times like these, I have a Savior. In times like these, I have an anchor. I'm very sure, I'm very, very sure my anchor holds and grips the solid rock. That rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. Be very sure, oh, you've got to be sure that your anchor, it holds and it grips the solid rock. At a time when Jesus could have shouted at the disciples, wake up! I need you. Why are you sleeping? Why have you betrayed me? Instead of being concerned about himself, and he was on his way to the cross, it was that very night, that in the very next moments, that Judas appeared with the guards and betrayed him. In that time when he could have been most accusing of them, he was most concerned that they were prepared for what was shortly to come. His heart was aching for them, not for himself. I'm so very glad we have a Savior. Amen.